Republican of New Mexico, is 85 years old today. Rhythm and blues singer Thelma Houston is 74. Actor Michael E. Knight, 58. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. As usual, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and we'll do it all without any type of manipulation. Because we don't try to con people, we just simply try to give you accurate information. Not some sort of human speculation, but accurate information that comes from the Word of God. Information designed to help you clarify and identify God's plan for your life, and if you can do that, then it's certainly my prayer you can orient and adjust to that plan. So thank you for listening to The Flatline. I love to hear from you. I love to hear your letters and you write to me and tell me the amazing things that God the Holy Spirit is doing with His Word as I deliver that to you. It's always a great inspiration to me. We continue to pray for new cities, new venues where we can take our broadcast and see what will happen in other parts of the country. So anytime you'd like to write to us, always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, and you can drop us an email. And it's always amazing to see what God does, how He does it, and thank you for listening to this radio show. We have been covering a lot of different things lately. We covered the resurrection, went quite extensively on that fact as we went through the resurrection with you at Christmas, and then we have been dealing with how time does not shout, but it just runs out, after Easter, and how time does not shout, but it just runs out, and we did a couple of shows on that, something that I taught in Houston recently, and today we want to talk about something that's dear to my heart. We're living in some pretty troubled times today. No one really knows what's about to happen in this country. We have all sorts of threats, both vocal threats and veiled threats from foreign enemies. We have enemies abroad. We have enemies at home. It seems like the news does everything they can to scare us, to tell us that we're going to be in a war, to tell us that we're going to get nuked, to tell us all of these things. And 24-hour-a-day news always has to come up with something. I think we were better off when we just had news twice a day. 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening, but 24 hours a day being assaulted with every sort of bad news you can get. Sometimes it's just a little bit too much. But do you ever get that strange feeling that something terrible is about to happen? I don't have that feeling, but I do think that this nation is in serious trouble. History will tell us that. And I'm not trying to be subjective. I'm just saying that we are assaulted with bad news 24 hours a day. Bad news on television, bad news on radio, bad news in print. However, the newspapers don't print as much as they used to. They cut back, and now they want you to go to the Internet to read their newspaper. But America is hated. You know that. We're hated across the globe. We're hated in North Korea, as their dictator threatens to nuke us today. We're hated in China. We're hated in Russia. We're hated in Cuba. We're hated in Venezuela. We're hated in Iraq. We're hated in Iran. All of these people seem to want us dead. They all seem to hate America. We have Muslim terrorists that want to kill us. We have political forces that seek to control us at every venue. We have religious voices that want to condemn you if you don't live up to their expectations. And, of course, your own conscience can assault you from time to time when you violate the norms and standards in your own soul. So the circumstances attack us. People hate us. And sometimes people that we don't even know, they hate you because you're black. They hate you because you're white. They hate you because you're a Democrat, or they hate you because you're a Republican. The world is full of hate and hatred and bitterness, in this country especially. And so it appears that we have local officials, state officials, as well as federal officials that are totally divorced from reality. And it concerns me. If it concerns the military, if it concerns law enforcement, judicial enforcement, foreign policy, domestic policy, the prisons that we have right now, crimes, gangs, drugs are so full that many convicted offenders just get a year or two and slapped on the hand and let go, sent on down the road. I can tell you something. We better learn to appreciate the police officer. The police officer is our last line of defense. You can get on the phone and call a police officer, and hopefully he'll come and help you. He'll come and assist you. But when he's gone, we've had it. And there's been an assault on police officers for a long time. You need to pray for these men. You need to pray for the job, these women, men and women, excuse me, the jobs that they do. Because it's a treacherous, lonely job. And everybody hates the police officer, it appears. And so here we are. Many of us wonder what to do. What's the solution? Do we just sit here and pray that terrorists don't sneak a nuclear weapon into New York or Los Angeles? Do we just sit here and pray that our enemies don't decide to take advantage of our confused political scene at home? And I don't think I've ever seen it quite as confused as it is today. The two sides seem to hate each other. And is this president any good? People say, well, will the next one be any better? Is he going to be better than the last president? I mean, what about it? People really don't know what to think. So the answers are found in the Word of God. But you must know how to find those answers. The solution with our national dilemma begins with God. He's not a genie in an eight ball. He's not going to pop out of the bottle and help you make things go away if you push the button. But he does have a master plan for each one of us. And it is our responsibility to find out that plan, how to get in that plan, how to understand the plan, where we fit into it. That's called getting your personal sense of destiny. And that is our problem-solving device, number six, in the flat line of your soul. You know, God has a viewpoint. That's what does he want you to think. See, he says in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So he doesn't think like we think, and he doesn't act like we act. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're told to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so we can see how thinking can be arrogant. When we begin to think arrogantly, we begin to be disobedient. So God does have a viewpoint, Will. He has something that he wants you to think. He says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So you have to learn how Christ thought, what he thought, equal to what he did. So we have the viewpoint will of God, the operational will of God. What does he want me to do? What should I do? What should I not do? How can I glorify him? We have the geographical will of God. And that means, where does he want me to be? Where does he want me to live? I mean, if you do what God wants you to do, will you eventually be where God wants you to be? I hope so. Because there is a directive will of God. He does have a direct plan for your life. And there is the permissive will of God, where he will allow you to go down the my way highway. He will allow you to make your own decisions, even though it might not be his desire. But sometimes you're so arrogant, you have to learn the hard way. I've been there. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And there is finally the overruling will of God, and this is how we know Jesus Christ, our Lord, controls history. He exercises his sovereign power to stop Satan or self from altering history. And the divine frustration of Satan's desire to frustrate him. You can read about that in the book of Esther, how Haman sought to kill all the Jews, but God overruled. And so there is that part of God's will where the overruling will of God is. So, yes, God does have something for you. The answers are found. He does have a master plan, and that plan is revealed in His Word. So it's our responsibility to find out how to get it, how to get in His plan, how to understand the plan, and where we fit into the plan, because it is revealed in His Word, and the solution for every problem that we face is there. National problems, personal problems, they're all solved by learning God's Word and applying God's Word into our life. And the only way this is ever going to happen is for you or me to have a hunger to know it. This is where I get frustrated, because I talk to a lot of people. I talk to a whole lot of people, and I don't find a whole lot of hunger for God's Word. I find people that are satisfied. They're satisfied going to church. They're satisfied doing their Sunday morning nod to God sort of deal, ritual. I don't find many people that are really very hungry. Hungry to learn new things. Not like you. Those of you that are listening to me, you're hungry. You've been listening for a long time now, and many of you are growing, and you have begun to see the need for a well-qualified pastor, and maybe you've contacted me and even gotten under the ministry of a good pastor. That's my objective, by the way, to help you locate that man so that you can start studying at your home, there at your table, and you can start growing until God reveals to you exactly where you're to be. But you've got to start somewhere. It's like a diet. You got to start somewhere. And my prayer is that you will find that man, that one man that God has equipped that can teach you and feed you, and you can learn and study and grow on a daily basis. Positive volition. Hunger for words, for God's Word. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for those of you that are listening to me today that are saying, you know, Rick, I cannot get enough of it. I want more. You know, it's kind of like anything else you do that you really love. You like doing it. And do you really like studying the Bible? Do you really like sitting down with your Bible and with a notebook and being taught God's Word every day? Do you like that? If you do, you're the person I'm looking for, because you're the person that has that hunger, that desire, that positive volition. You know, I know people that like to fish, and they go fishing every day. I know people like to hunt. They go hunting every day. I know people that like to do certain things, and they do it repeatedly. Exercise, work out, ride their bike, whatever. Do you have a hunger to study God's Word every day? Because if you don't, you're never going to grow up. You're never going to get there by just going to church once a week, twice a week. Until you see the need to start taking in God's Word on a daily basis, you're not going to grow up. Job 5:8 says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. I would seek is an expression here in the Hebrew of continuous positive volition towards God's Word. It is Job continually seeking God's Word. There are several different types of people that I meet that have some volition. I meet people that have instant inspiration. By that I mean their volition is weak and it's unstable, but they get temporarily inspired to learn the Bible because of one reason or another. Something happens in their life, some disaster, some calamity, some affliction enters their life, and all of a sudden they're all interested in knowing what the Bible has to say, because that's where the answers are. That's the solution to what they face. And then something else happens, and these people get easily distracted. They get easily bored and maybe even offended, and they walk away. They can't stay with it. They have instant inspiration. I'm not looking for people like that. I've met those kind of people all my life. Instant inspiration. Yeah, they got a kid that's in trouble. They're in trouble. They got this going on, that going on. Tell me what I'm to do. And I can't tell anybody what to do. I can tell you what the Bible says. But then, once the problem is solved, is there still a hunger there to want to know more? And usually the answer is no. Usually they move on down the road. And there's always that troubled inspiration in times of trouble. When marriage problems pop up or financial problems pop up or what we may be facing, national catastrophe. I was speaking in a church in Greenwood, Mississippi, the day that the Muslims attacked the World Trade Center, the day they flew those airplanes into those buildings. And I watched on television, like maybe you did. I even had a daughter in New York City that I was talking with at the time. And it was a tragic thing to see. You know, that night at church, it was packed out with people. And I talked to some other pastors that I know across the country, and their congregations were packed out too. But it didn't take long, maybe a month, maybe less, that the crowds began to go away and they began to diminish because they had troubled inspiration, a national catastrophe, and they wanted a quick biblical solution, an easy way out so they don't have to worry or be afraid or make it go away or God help us to get even with these people. But the hunger to study, the hunger to grow, the hunger to want to learn has never been there. They move from one project to another, from one mission trip to another, from one something to another, and then the catastrophe hits, and then it's back to the Bible, and then it's back to whatever they want to do again. There's no real positive volition there. There's no humility where that person can sit down and be teachable. You can't learn anything if you're not humble. Humility is the key to teachability. And a person that has enough humility can open his Bible and get a notebook and sit down each day and listen to God's Word be taught to him and not get distracted, not get turned off, not get discouraged. That's the winner believer. That's the man that has the true positive volition, the true inspiration, the ones who know that they must get it every day, regardless of whatever situation's in their life. Some of them would get up an hour early before work just to take in the Word of God, just to put in a DVD or to turn on an MP3 and listen. Maybe they'll get up 30 minutes early, or maybe they'll stay up an hour late at night just so they be sure that they get it. I know people that work out every night. They won't go to bed until they're sure that they worked out, till they've done their exercise routine or until they've done their walking. They're not going to go to bed till they make sure that they've done that. But when it comes to making sure that you feed on God's Word, is that the same motivation? You see, soul food is Bible doctrine. That's the food for your soul. It's the Word of God. Soul food is more important than physical food. The Bible tells us in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That is soul food. And by the way, Satan, the Bible says something about what he likes to eat. Did you know that? In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says Satan wants to devour you. He goes around seeking who he can devour. And that means to swallow up. And here's a little gross thought, but it's a true thought. People that buy into Satan's plan, who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, are swallowed up by Satan, are eaten by Satan, they wind up being a big pile of satanic poop at the great white throne of judgment. Did you hear me? That's right, I said a big pile of satanic poop at the great white throne of judgment. That's a pretty literal interpretation, but That's what it is. You're going to be eaten up and eaten alive by Satan when you don't receive the truth of the Word of God. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior because of some arrogant notion that God doesn't exist, or some arrogant idea that God gave you a raw deal in life, and you turn down Jesus Christ, you get discouraged, you walk away from the gospel, you will not walk in the light and receive the light, that's what you're going to wind up being, a big pile of satanic poop at the great white throne of judgment. So think about that one. That's kind of gross. And I certainly don't mean to be gross, but I mean to be livid. Job said, I will commit my cause to God. That means I'm going to put it in his hands. That means that he's going to live by the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, and that's yours too. You must learn how to live the problem-solving device. You must know that. In Exodus, Moses said, stand still. Watch what God is about to do. I mean, if you're going to break the sound barrier, you got to go about 1,000,000 miles an hour through space. But if you want to break the faith barrier, you stand still and watch what God does. Standing on the promises of God, over 7,000 of them in the Bible, claiming the promises of God, having a relaxed mental attitude, and turn it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven and let the Lord handle the details. I'm going to put my life in his hands. I'm going to put my cause in his hands. He said he has great and unsearchable and marvelous things that he can do. What can God do for you? Why can you have that sort of confidence to put your life in the Lord's hands? Well, Job 5:9, who does great things, unsearchable and marvelous things without number. That simply means that God can manufacture something out of nothing in your life. Out of his essence, he provides a wonderful plan of grace, a free plan for you and I to have fellowship with him so that we can be brought into his kingdom by faith alone in Christ alone. He provides every need that we have, every solution to any dilemma that we have. He might not make it go away, but he will equip you to endure the test. This is what Paul discovered in 2 Corinthians 12 when he had a thorn in the flesh and he kept asking God to make it go away, make it go away, make it go away. And the Lord finally said, no, my grace is sufficient. That thorn was a type of teaching aid. It was a thing that kept him humble. And God may introduce some humility into your life so he can teach you something also. In Job 5:19, there is a promise there. That promise is that he will deliver you in 6 troubles, yea, even in 7, no evil will touch you. And that means to rescue you, deliver you from imminent danger. The danger we face in this country, a lot of people freak out. A lot of people going to bed scared tonight and afraid tonight that something might happen and this might happen or that might happen or maybe life as we know it's not going to be the same way tomorrow. God will deliver you. As a mature believer, as a member of his pivot, a winner believer who's growing spiritually, taking in his word on a consistent basis, he will deliver you from imminent danger. It means he will cause you to be rescued. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, in 7, no evil will touch you. In 6 troubles, the Bible says you're born into trouble. Job 5:7, yet man is born into trouble, even as sparks fly upward. Your life and my life is a life of trouble. There's economic disaster. There's warfare or military catastrophe. Social disaster. Death, weather-related disaster. I mean, everywhere we turn, there's trouble. But by using your flight line, by using the Word of God, you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. I mean, adversity, that's inevitable. According to Job 5:7, we're born into trouble, and yet stress is optional. Economic catastrophe? Yes. In famine, he will deliver you from death? Yes. I mean, when Job wrote it, that we're talking about an agricultural economy or when Moses wrote it. And famine meant starvation because of no food. And today we live in a little bit of a different economy, so famine could be depression or recession or economic disaster. We don't base our wealth on agriculture. We just need the food to eat. But why would God cause a hardship to fall on America? Why would God allow something like this to happen? Well, there are several reasons. In Job 5:17, the Bible says, "Happy is the man whom God correcteth." Divine discipline is a wonderful thing. We don't like it. We don't want to hurt. We don't want it. But it brings us to a point of humility where we can orient and adjust to reality. Without divine discipline, you will go down the my way highway and never adjust to reality. You will never see yourself as you are. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous to the one that forsaketh the way. It's not fun. And there is national discipline coming on this country. We have focused on the gifts, and we have thrown the giver under the bus. We can't talk about him in the public venue. We can't tell kids about him in a school. We can't even put the nativity scene on the city hall square. Can't put a copy of the Ten Commandments anywhere. It's a violation of a code of some goofy sort. We have really thrown him under the bus, haven't we? In Proverbs 15:33, respect for the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor there must be humility. America has lost its humility, I assure you of that. We are so proud and so arrogant and so self-righteous, and we think we have all the answers, and we don't. You and I are products of the grace of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been graced out. You have been given a free gift by God. Someone you didn't even know died for you, put his life on a cross in your place, suffered and bled for you. And you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but he did it. And then if you're a free American, it's the same thing again. People you don't know died. Died in foreign battlefields and foreign arenas, men and women. Died for you so you could be free. So you could live a free life, a choice, a life of freedom and choice as a free American. But some people are doing everything they can to give it all away.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I ask you to stay with me. Listen to me. Hang in there. It's going to be a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. All done without any type of manipulation. We're not trying to con you. We're not trying to hustle you. We're simply trying to give you information. Information that I believe will help you verify as well as identify the plan of God for your life. And if you can do that, obviously you have a choice to make. You can orient and adjust to the plan, or you can continue to live your life as you wish. That's up to you. I'm not here to coerce you to do anything. I'm here to give you the facts. And it's between you and God, the Holy Spirit. You can deal with it. But you can make sure of one thing. On this radio show, we're going to be accurate. We're going to give you the accurate facts. And we're not going to hustle you in any way whatsoever. We've been on this radio show thing for over 10 years now. It's been an amazing journey for me. I never thought I would have a radio ministry. And yet here we are. You're listening to me this morning. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the letters that we get and testimonies from those of you who are getting it, who are understanding it. You know, what we predicate our show on is you developing a flatline in your soul, a flatline, F-L-O-T, which is a military acronym for forward line of troops. And we're teaching that there are about 10 problem-solving devices that if you'll learn them and use them or deploy them, staying in that military vernacular, if you'll deploy them in your soul, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. We've learned that as humans, adversity is inevitable, And most of the time it's from our own bad decisions. But we've also learned from the Word of God that because of our unique life, stress is optional. We have the most unique life in the history of the world, the church age believer. You and me, we live in the church, and we have the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of Jesus Christ. We have indwelling of the Father. We have the living Word of God, the canon of Scripture. We have a local church. We have the assets in that local church of different spiritual gifts. We have a qualified pastor. I mean, look at what we have available to us. There's no reason that we should ever fail. There's no reason that we should ever fall behind. There's no reason that we should ever forget the wonderful things that God has for us. And so as we continue to broadcast this radio show, trusting the Lord to expand our ministry and expand our horizons and to give us more venues, I covet your prayers for those opportunities and ask you to stick with us. Always stick with us. If you ever have a question, you can always go to my website, rickhughesministries.org. And you can contact us there. You can order material there. It's all free of charge, no charge ever. And we'll be glad to respond in any way whatsoever. Today, we want to dive into your mind. I know that's a dangerous pool to dive into, but we want to talk about your mind. We want to talk about your nous, N-O-U-S, in the Bible. That's the word mind. There's also another word in the Bible called cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. These are two Greek words, nous and cardia. And the cardia is your heart. And both of these are involved in the human IQ and spiritual IQ. So this is what we're going to talk about today. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've accepted Him as your Savior, and you know that you've accepted Christ, and I pray you have, I pray there's no one listening to me that hasn't made that decision. It is the single most significant decision you can make your entire life. That's why the Bible says, "What think ye of Christ?" Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Roman jailer, and thou shalt be saved. It's a simple act of faith. That's why the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's a gift from God, not of works, lest we would brag about it. If you've made that decision, then spiritual IQ far outweighs any human IQ you may have. We're not all geniuses. We're not all smart. Some of us, including myself, have to have help from time to time with various math or English things, and because we're not geniuses. But some of you are geniuses. I mean, you can spell any word. You can diagram any sentence. You can add up any calculation. But human IQ doesn't cut it with God. It's spiritual IQ, and that comes from equal privilege and equal opportunity. See, we all have the privilege to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's a free gift for God, and the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. And then we all have the opportunity to take the Word of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit and to use these two power options. If we use the filling of the Holy Spirit and we use the Word of God metabolized, learned in our soul that is technically called wisdom, there's no reason for us ever to fail. So as goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. You are a product of what you think. And if the Lord wants to check you out, by the way, in Revelation 2:23, this is what He says, "I am He who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your production." And that was a message to the church at Thyatira, the Lord Jesus Christ giving a message to the pastor there. But notice, "I search the minds," N-O-U-S, "and the hearts," K-A-R-D-I-A. And then Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in total peace, perfect peace, total rest, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." In other words, if you're using the faith rest drill, problem solving device number 3, and you have mental dependence upon your Heavenly Father, upon the Word of God, He will give you total rest, perfect peace. You know, your mind, this is where the battle rages most of the time. Your mind is a source of thinking. Your mind is a source of thought. And one of the thoughts is called recall. You and I can recall. It's like watching a movie projector. We have thoughts and we can remember. And Lamentations 3:21, this was written, "This I recall to mind." That's remembering doctrine, remembering the scripture. When you recall the scriptures that you've learned, then as is written in Lamentation, I have hope. "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Hope there is not like what we say, "I hope it doesn't rain today." That's some sort of, "I hope we get to make it on time." It's a different hope. This is absolute confidence. In the Greek New Testament, the word is elpis. It's assurance. "Therefore I have assurance." I have confidence. In verse 22 of Lamentations 3, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so we see his mercy, his compassion, and his faithfulness. This is what we recall. This is what we remember. This should be the source of your thought when you get up each day. Write that down, Lamentations 3, 21, 22, 23. You should read that every morning if you can. "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." It's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because of his compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, "I do not want your minds to be corrupted." You do not need to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. This is what Satan likes to do. He likes to recapture your thinking, recapture your thoughts. Satan tricked Eve through his own craftiness, and do not think that he cannot trick you. He certainly can trick you. He always wants to neutralize your spiritual life. And oddly enough, sometimes you wind up doing it for him, don't you? So there are five objectives that you need to be careful about. Satan is always trying to reclaim your affections. In 1 John 2:15, the Bible tells us, "Do not love the world, neither love the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And this is occupation with the details in life. You are told in the scripture not to be preoccupied with the details in life. This is not your home. You're not going to stay here forever. You are called a sojourner in the Bible. You are have a different home. Your home is Uranos, the Greek word heaven. That's where you're headed. And so anything in this world that God gives you, you can enjoy, but don't fall in love with it. Happiness is not dependent on what circumstances or people. Jesus Christ our Lord told us in Luke 11:27-28, happiness is dependent on those who hear my Father's word and keep it. And if you want to have some real happiness in your life, it comes from developing momentum, hearing and keeping the word of God on a consistent basis. Now, that is what Satan does not want you to do. He would like to neutralize your spiritual life by reclaiming your affections. If he can do that, then he can recapture your thoughts. You cannot let him recapture your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." This is where Satan attacks, to get to your thinking. Recapturing your thoughts means you can think one or two ways. You can think in terms of humility. As Romans 12:3 says, "Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, which is beyond what we should think, but think in terms of humility, which is God's plan." Humility. And when you're thinking in terms of arrogance, then you have an unrealistic self-image. Casting down imaginations is an unrealistic self-image. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's human viewpoint thinking. Someone telling you that they're smarter than God, they know the solution, that God's not real, you can't trust the Bible, you know how it goes. The humanist has all sorts of reasons why the Bible is not true, why it's not real. And you will face that all of your life. You will face all sorts of questions about, well, man really wrote it, so it's full of mistakes, yada, yada, yada. We have to bring every thought into captivity, because this is where Satan will attack you. He will attack your mind. He will attack what you think. He wants to recapture your thoughts by appealing to your arrogance. And this passage says we're to bring every thought into obedience of Christ, to obey him. If you love me, you will obey me, he said, and my mandates are not hard. 1 John 5:3. So Satan would like to reclaim your affections. He would like to recapture your thoughts. He would also like to redirect your focus in life. What is your focus in life? What is your primary desire in life? It should be to glorify God to the max. It should be to reach spiritual maturity. It should be to be an invisible hero, to be a silent professional in the plan of God. See, you can have an invisible impact, an historical impact, a national impact, all by becoming a mature believer, all by being a member of that pivot that we talk about, the pivot, that group of mature believers that on the bottom line sustained the nation. And this is what Gideon had to have, 300 pivot members. God delivered the nation Israel through the ministry of Gideon with 300 solid people. God doesn't need 35 million, just God needs a few, like you, to be consistent, to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, to be consistent, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be consistent, to keep your affections where they should be, to keep your thoughts where they should be, and to keep our focus where it should be. Well, what should our focus be? If Satan wants to redirect my focus, what does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so Satan would love for you to get your eyes on the temporary, on those things that don't really mean anything. Things that you think could make you happy. You think, you see, if you start, like, for example, you covet your neighbor's property, you covet your neighbor's house, covet your neighbor's whatever. You think, well, he's got it made. Look at the money he's got. Look at the house he's got. Look at the car he drives. Don't look at those things. They're not the things that make you happy. They're temporary things. You don't take them with you to heaven, that's for sure. But we are to focus on the things which are not seen, things that are eternal. And that's the plan of God for you. That's the promise of God for you. You will have a resurrection body. That's a promise. You will never hurt again. You'll never have any more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. All of these things will be passed away. You will rule and reign with Jesus Christ our Lord in the millennium for 1,000 years. And you will live a eternal life with God the Father in heaven. That's a promise. You can focus on those things. When you leave this body, which is getting older and hurts and gets sick, don't worry about it. You're going to have a new body. You're going to have a resurrection body. Focus on those things. And here it is again. Reclaim your affections, recapture your thoughts, redirect your focus. And finally, you should redefine your values. This is Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon this earth, where moth and dust or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But instead, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. In other words, the treasures that you have are eternal treasures. If you stay filled with the Spirit, if you grow in grace, if you magnify Jesus Christ, you're going to have divine good production. Your divine good production is going to be gold, silver, and precious stones. As per 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15, gold, silver, and precious stones. That's anything you do for God while you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a divine good production. And no one can steal it from you. No one can take it away from you. And these divine good production is your reward throughout all eternity. So we have to keep our values. What are our values today? What we acquire in time or what we acquire in eternity? And then lastly, we need to be careful because Satan would love for you to reorder your priorities. Reorder your priorities. In other words, to get you off track, to get you to go down the my way highway. In Matthew 6:23, the Bible says you need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. And these are logistical details in this passage in Matthew 6. Those things that you need to sustain your life. Those things that you need to handle the details of life. The Lord promises he will not hang you out to dry. He promises he will meet your logistical needs. And this says, seek first. Protos, your first priority must be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. And there's a whole sermon right there, a whole message right there. But you must have priority number one, learning God's word. Why? So you can replicate the thinking of Christ, and you can reflect Christ in your life so that your life becomes a light or a testimony. Your life becomes salt or a preservative. This is why God left you here. So God mandates that you think in your mind, divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint comes through the scripture. It's called the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord, and who will instruct him? But Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the New Testament, the Word of God. Excuse me, I had to take a sip there of coffee. So here you have it. Learning the Word of God, learning to think like Christ thoughts. It's a perspective of life based on the infallible Word of God. He won't lie to you. He won't mislead you. He won't manipulate you, not like Satan will. And so that's where you have to think. You have to learn to think divine viewpoint. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, here's an interesting thing. God can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking. He can read you like an open book. He knows your thoughts. He knows your attitudes. He certainly can see your actions, and he knows the results. So your thoughts, you know, this is him, this is it, this is great, this is bad. Your attitude, I can do it, I can't do it, I will, I enjoy, I don't, etc. Listen, the Bible says there's not a creature hidden from before him, Hebrews 4:13. But all things are bare, having been exposed to the eyes of him whom our account is given. And so God can read your mind. You can't go in your room, turn off the light, pull the curtains, get under the cover, and hide from God. He is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He can be there with you, and he knows what you're thinking. And he holds us responsible for what we think or what we choose. So our thinking is very important. The Bible clearly says, as we think in our heart, so we are. So the real us is what we think, not what we look like, not the image we project. Not how we promenade around and act like we're something really holy when in fact we're not. He knows what we think, and he sees our hearts. And so Proverbs 23:7, as you think in your heart, so you are. your cardia. Here's what you are. You are the sum total of your motives. You're the sum total of your intentions. And you're the sum total of your desires. That's you. What you intend to do, what you desire to have, and what motivates you to do those things. Now, the Bible always relates our thought pattern to our heart, or the right lobe of the brain. You know, the left lobe is the noose. That's where the information comes in. And information in the noose or in the mind is just information. That information has to be transferred by faith to the right lobe or to the heart. Two lobes of the brain, left lobe, right lobe. It gets in the right lobe, or in the cardia, it's called Sophia. It's called wisdom in the Bible. And so God always is looking at our hearts. And this is where you can apply the Word of God to any experience in your life. Whenever you learn the Word of God, it goes into your frame of reference. It goes into your memory center. And you retain it there and store it there until you need it. And listen, the rate of forgetting can be greater than the rate of learning. That's why I started this off with telling you, you have to recall. This I recall. I remember. You know, going to church and taking notes and getting a big notebook and then putting it on a shelf and not ever looking at it again. You're going to forget it. You've got to recall. You've got to remember. And that's part of the pastor's job, by teaching with repetition. He repeats himself. And if you ever say, well, I heard that before, preacher, you're totally out of line. Repetition is important. My pastor used to say repetition, repetition, repetition. He drilled it into us so we didn't forget it. And that's the way it has to be. You have to learn it that way. It's what the military does when you learn to say forward march, about face, right face. Repetition. Over and over and over. On the drill field, they march until they learn to follow orders. So, we have to have that in our life as well. So the Bible relates our thought pattern to our heart and the right lobe of our soul. This is where we apply God's Word into our frame of reference, our memory center, and retain it and pull it out and use it. So my approach to life and your approach to life, the effectiveness of our Christian spiritual life depends on what we think. You know, it does. I mean, if you say, I'm worried sick, well, there's a connection between your physical health and your thought pattern. Did you know that? Any psychiatrist can tell you that. Any mental attitude of fear or worry or anxiety or continuous mental tension is going to eventually overflow and affect your body. I mean, it has to. It's the way it goes. It's common to people to suffer from such ailments as eczema, skin rash, warts, allergies, asthma, hypertension, ulcers, and other disorders that come from the overflow of pressure in their life, from the overflow of from the mind to the body. And sometimes when the mental attitude is stabilized, those symptoms can even be removed. So physiological problems can indeed be related to the thought process. But when your heart, or the right lobe of your soul, thinks divine viewpoint thinking, you can have what the world doesn't have, and that's an inner peace, a relaxed mental attitude, a stability of thinking with inner happiness. But when we think human viewpoint, or when we get involved in mental attitude sins like jealousy and arrogance, then we wind up in self-induced misery. If you're miserable today, there may be a reason for that. Maybe you created it yourself. There are many different attitudes. There are only two basic viewpoints in life: divine viewpoint and human viewpoint. And we know divine viewpoint. God said in Isaiah 55:8-9, I don't think like you think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Our objective is to think like he thinks, to think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. I sure hope you're listening, and I sure hope you're learning. I thank you for being a part of this program for all these years. I pray you'll continue to stick with me and continue to learn until you find a qualified pastor you can sit under and study and take in the Word of God on a daily basis. That's my prayer for you. So thank you for being with me. This is Rick Hughes, the host of The Flatline. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Voters across France are choosing a new president today in an unusually tense and important election that could decide Europe's future. This makes for a stark choice between pro-business independent Emmanuel Macron and far-right populist Marine Le Pen. This woman has cast her ballot for Macron.
I think she's a populist, she's dangerous, and she's part of those bully presidents in the world. She's part of that kind of global bully.
Polling agency projections and initial official results are expected as soon as the final stations close at 8 p.m. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time here in the U.S.